שני, חלק א', פרק שני, אוס בייס. said that the main purpose of creation, from what we can understand, is that the Ribbono Shel Olam, being the ultimate good, wanted to do good to a creation that could receive the ultimate good, which was having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dveikus B'Hashem, being similar to Hashem, and therefore being connected to Him. L'ula. So if that's the case, the Ribbono Shel Olam should have created Neshamas, created Olam Haba, and given the Neshama the ability to have that relationship with Him. L'ula. Gozra Chachmaso Shelios Atov Shalek. In order that that good should be as perfect as it could be, Roy Shia Nehenebo Bal HaTovahu, that the one who received that good should be the owner of that good, should be his kinyan. Perish Mishi Yikna HaTovi Atzma, that he acquires this good on his own. Velo Mishi Yislavelo HaTovi Derech Mikra, and not that it should be given to him on a silver platter, just by chance, since the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to give it to him, he got it. The Tirish is then Nikra Tzasis Damus. The reason for that, says the Derech Hashem, is in order that since the goal of receiving this good is to be Domel Hashem, and the more you're like the Ribbono Shel Olam, the more of a connection you have with him. So acquiring that good on your own, rather than it being given to you from the outside, is more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'shir she'efshar al-shlei Musa yisbarach shemo. It's as close as you can come. Why? Ki nehu yisbarach shemo sholem bi'atzmo. The Ribbono Shel Olam is perfect in himself. He doesn't need anyone to be mashlim him. V'lo b'nikra. Ela mitzad ha'misa sinyanu muchrach bo ha'shleimus. The Ribbono Shel Olam, by his intrinsic nature, is absolutely perfect. And the Ribbono Shel Olam has no imperfections in a intrinsic way. Right? If somebody else had that, they'd be God. That's impossible. Shia mituso machrachas lo ashlemus. It's impossible to be completely like the Ribbono Shel Olam in that area, in that idea. However, in some way, a person can be more like the Ribbono Shel Olam. At least the person is not a receiver completely, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is never a receiver, but he is someone who creates that shleimus on his own. He himself takes away the imperfections. So he's not Domel Lashem, because the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have to be to create shleimus. He is automatically shalim. That's his metzius. But a person can't possibly be that. So it's more like the Ribbono Shel Olam to acquire your shleimus than to be given from someone else. Because to acquire, let's see one second, that even by the Ribbono Shel Olam, klapi this world, there is such an idea of acquiring things. The Chal came, and therefore, Gozar, since the whole idea of this shleimus is to be like Hashem, so the way to get the shleimus has to make the person more like Hashem than less like Hashem. And therefore, to earn it or to acquire it is more like Hashem than getting it totally from the outside. And therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam said that you should create a world where there are things of perfection and things of imperfection. And a creation that could either acquire the perfection or the imperfection equally. V'yufnu labriya and tzoyim shal yodim tikna la'atzmus ha'shleimus, and the Rabbanu Shem should give that creation the tools to be able to acquire those things, the sadri menesai chasranos, the tools to avoid acquiring the imperfections. V'oz yikorish in his dams of a mashahoya efter lalabura, and then by doing that he becomes as perfect as possible, and he is the source of his perfection, which is not exactly like Hashem, but closer to the Rabbanu Shalom than not being the source of his perfection at all. And then, since he'll be like Hashem as much as possible, he'll be able to attach himself to the Rabbanu Shalom and receive that ultimate good, which is the attachment to the Rabbanu Shalom. Okay, this Derech Hashem is unlike what everybody says is the reason why a person has to earn his Chelek in Olam Haba, based on the Zohar, that something that a person gets for free, he doesn't enjoy, he's embarrassed to eat because he's a receiver and he has nothing to do with deserving that thing. And that's called Nahama Dechsufa, bread that a person's embarrassed to eat because you're getting a handout. And therefore, in order for the pleasure to be the ultimate, it has to be earned. And we explain that it's even more than earned. It has to be created. Because you appreciate something that you're given, but not as much as something that you earn and buy with money that you earned. But you don't appreciate something that you buy with money that you earned as much as something that you actually made. Right? I think we gave the example already, give it again. Right, if you give in one of these comfortable chairs as a present and you sit in it, you appreciate it, you enjoy it. But if you bought that chair with your own money and you sit in it, you enjoy it more. And if you made the chair from scratch, you'll enjoy it even more. So in order for the reward, the pleasure that the Rabbanu Shem wanted to shower on this creation to be complete, the person has to create it himself. Here he says a different idea. So some say they're two separate ideas, and some say no, they're mamish the same thing. And there's two ways of explaining why they're the same thing. Some say that the busha that a person has, why is it that a person is mavuyish to eat what he didn't earn or didn't deserve? Because he's less like HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that. So the busha comes from being someone who inherently is imperfect and needs to be imperfected by someone else. And therefore, when you don't need to be perfected by someone else, you're more like Hashem, there's less embarrassment. So the two things really go together. That's one way of understanding it. Another way of understanding it is that which they say, the Nahama Dechsufa, is only a muscle that we can understand a little bit better. But the real reason is what he says over here. The idea that a person doesn't appreciate what he doesn't earn or create, there's a question. Why couldn't the Rabbanu Shem create a person who appreciates what he doesn't earn? And if he could create a person like that, then he wouldn't have to make him earn it, because he would be able to fulfill it without earning it. The whole idea of not appreciating something as much when you earn it, when you don't earn it, as when you earn it, is all a psychological thing that's part of the Bria. So the Rabbanu Shem could have created a Bria differently. We said that you're not allowed to ask such a question, and there's no answer to it, because that's a question on God's mind. Why did he choose to create the world the way he did? There's no possible way for us to answer that, because we have no frame of reference to anything before creation. All we can explain is, once the Rabbanu Shem created the world the way he did, which we can't understand at all why he did it the way he did, right? But once it exists, what can we understand about it? Not why it couldn't have been differently. But once it's there, what can we understand about what's here? So that's a fact that people appreciate what they earn more than what they what they get for free. So we can't understand why it's like that, but once it's like that, that's why the Rabban Shem. But it could be that the second thing answers the first thing. Why did the Rabban Shem create a world where people don't appreciate what they don't earn? Is because that makes them less like Hashem. And since the whole purpose of this world is to be more like Hashem, Hashem created a situation where people appreciate being more like Hashem than less like Hashem. That's all. Okay. What else here? Okay. Yeah, that pretty much covers this. Any questions on this? Okay. The next paragraph will deal how the Rabbanu Shel Olam achieved that. Right. In other words, now the purpose of creation is that the Rabbanu Shel Olam should shower his presence, the ultimate pleasure, on a creation that could receive that. In order to do that, a person has to be more and more like Hashem. And more like Hashem, the more perfect you are, the more have a connection to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The Rabbanu Shel Olam could have made perfect, or as much perfect as a creation could be, and attach him to him. But that wouldn't be like Hashem as much, like he says, because Hashem doesn't get his perfection from anyone else. He gets nothing from anyone else. And also, the person wouldn't appreciate that pleasure as much, because it's not appreciated what you don't earn. So for both of those reasons, the Rabban Shem created a world where a person could acquire that perfection, be more like Hashem, and appreciate it more, because he's more like Hashem. And Mamela, that is the total purpose of creation and the way that the Rabban Shem did it, and how he worked it out, the details, that's yet to come.
There's a medrash, I don't know where it is inside, that Hashem, when Hashem wanted to create the world, he consulted the neshamos and tzaddikim, and he created the world. And the explanation that I understood is that the tzaddik, the word is miyashon, that he's matzdik, he justifies, that's what I was saying, he justifies his existence. That's why, for the sake that people should be able, that there should be a being that could justify its own existence, that's what the Shah in the medrash is.
I hear. You know, the problem is that that's talking about at the beginning, I guess.
Right. It doesn't make sense that they didn't exist before, but still, that's
okay. The
can I ask that one question? Sorry.
Yeah.
Sort of. Is there a difference between earn something and person putting an effort into something? He struggled. In other words, if I buy a lottery ticket now and I win, does that mean I earned it? And I'm going to have that close, that endearment to it, or because it wasn't so much earning, the sort of the quality was less in the time spent. So is there a difference between earning and effort, so to speak? Or
the more effort you put in, the more it's your. It's not so much earning it. Earning means you did one thing and you got something else to compensate for it. You dug ditches and you got paid money. Right, digging the ditches didn't create the money. Right, that's earning something. So if you earn something with little effort, right, it's more like you got it for free. If you, earn it with a lot of effort, so you had to put in a lot of effort, you earned it not so much for free. That's if this reward would be something extrinsic that comes from the outside. But we said it's not that you're getting a reward of something to compensate for what you did. But you are creating a difference in yourself. You're making yourself more like Hashem. And the Nela, you have that connection. God's not rewarding you and giving you something, right? He's giving the opportunity to create something. I am creating myself in a way that I'm more perfect by what I did. And that perfection is the reward. Because with that perfection, I have that connection to the Rabban Shel Olam. So I'm not getting anything on the outside that's not me. I'm making myself the object of the reward. So the more I put in and create it, the more I appreciate it. The less that I create it and I get help, That's why we'll see that there is rachamim, getting mercy, right, is really counterproductive, because then you're getting help, and really without help, and it's all you're doing, is much better. So when the Revolution created the world, he created B'midas HaDin. Right? Din means that you get exactly what you deserve. What you do is what you get. Nothing more, nothing less. That's the ideal. The ideal is to have a world that everything you do, you deserve because you did it. Now, because the Rabbanu Shem saw that most people wouldn't be able to keep up that standard, and they would end up losing that instead of gaining it, they'd lose it. So he created rachamim. He added rachamim. Rachamim means it doesn't destroy the din completely, but it tempers the din, as the Mesillas Yesharim said. Doesn't conflict or totally negate the din. It just tempers it. But there is a certain negative having that rachamim, because then you're getting help, right? So therefore, the ideal would be to live in a world of din. And the Shalom HaKadosh says that the Rabbanu Shalom didn't create a world and then change his mind and add the rachamim. He created two worlds. He created a world of din and a world of rachamim. And a world of, not rachamim, but a world of din tempered by rachamim. And if you can fit into that first world, then that's what you get, because that's ideal. If you can't, then you go to the next dimension. Right? Could be that that's the Shalom HaKadosh says there were people in history who were able to fit that first world, which is the ideal. Yaakov Avinu was one of them. Yaakov Avinu said, "V'hoya Hashem li Elokim. I don't want Hashem rachamim. I want everything to be din, Elokim." And therefore Yaakov Avinu lived a very difficult life, because he got no help. But the things that the din affected him were minimal compared to the rachamim, compared to the total earning of his olam haba. Rabbi Akiva was the same thing, they say. Rabbi Akiva was what's it called? Was a person who could exist totally with din. That's why when the malachim asked Zu Torah v'Zu Schara, when they were torturing Rabbi Akiva to death, the Rabbanu Shlom's answer was Shtok Kach Olso B'Machshav Lefonai. This is what my original plan had been. Not this is what I thought, and you can't understand it as most people understand it. Says the Hashalah, what it means is this was my original plan. Kach Olso B'Machshav. That's what it says. Also B'Machshav Livro B'Midas Adin B'Shitei V'Morachamim. Says the Shalom HaKadosh, my original plan was total din. I only created rachamim for people who couldn't live up to that plan. Better they should get something than nothing. Even if it's not 100% earned on their own, right? They get some help. But Rabbi Akiva could exist in a world where he, what's it called, got everything that he deserved, not more, not less. He's going to suffer terribly for the few small things without any rachamim. But the 99% that he earns is his totally. That's the ideal. That's what the Shalom HaKadosh. So I want to explain that that's what Chazal say, the machlokas, of when the world was created, in Tishrei or Nisan. And Tosa says they're both true. The world was created b'machshava in Tishrei, and l'maisa in Nisan. So some people understand that to mean God planned the world like in Tishrei, in machshava, but he didn't actually create it till Nisan. Which is a lot of contradiction to that, because on Tishrei we say that Adam HaRishon was created, not planned or thought about or whatever. So what I'd like to explain is the following. In the beginning of creation there was no time, but there were two dimensions created. One was called the dimension of Tishrei, that's Din. Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah of Din. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, right? Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim. Right, Nisan is Pesach. Pesach means to have rachamim. Chos, the Targum says. Pesach, according to some, means to jump, skip, pass over. But the Targum says it means to have mercy. So Pesach is mercy, and Tishrei is din. In Kabbalah, when the Aleph Beis appears in a world in a word in order, it represents rachamim. When it appears backwards, it's din. Tishrei is the Aleph Beis backwards, Tav Shin Resh. Aviv, which is the name of Nisan, right, basically in the Torah, Chodesh HaAviv, is Aleph Beis. That's Rachamim. So originally the Rabban Shem created the world in two dimensions. One, the dimension of Rachamim, and one, the dimension of Din. And the one was B'machshava, one was the ideal, that was Din, that was Tishrei. And the other one was Lamaisa. Lamaisa, not everybody can live up to the ideal, so Lamaisa has to be Rachamim also. So therefore, there were two dimensions at the moment of creation, Din and Rachamim. Eventually time was created, and the Din dimension gravitated towards Tishrei, and the Rachamim dimension gravitated towards Nisan. So we have two different times of the year, beginnings of the year, one the Rachamim beginning and one the Din beginning. But originally there were two dimensions at the same exact time, because there was no time. That's how I understand that idea. That's what Tosa says, that they were both, they're both MS. One was the Rachshava, one was Lamaisa. Right? The way we're explaining it's very nice. The Din was the Rachshava and the Rachman was Lamaisa, which it said. Yeah.
Two questions. One, Tosa says that the Tanaim, explaining according to the Tanaim, they're both true, and just this one holds that the Rachshava is the Iker and this one holds the Lamaisa.
Right, yeah.
Okay, second question. So if I'm understanding correctly, the Gan Eden that we get is the pleasure that we have from being like a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Right.
Right? So a person, say Rabbi Yashiv, he achieved the maximum that he's going to be like a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the last days of his life. Right? And did he experience that pleasure in this world already, of being like Hashem? Or is it like hidden from us and we can only experience that pleasure in the next world?
You can only experience it completely in the next world.
Even though
this is
like
the world, this is the world to do, and that's the world to receive.
So even though we're like him, we don't get to.
No, but still, a person has a feeling in this world of something, of that connection to the Rabban Shlom. You can't feel it completely because you live in a physical world. But the mice, as much as a person can feel it, he has a feeling of it in this world too. But that's not the reward. That's the mitzvahs. The more you make yourself like the Rabban Shlom, the more you feel accomplished, whatever you feel, but you can't really feel that till you're out of a physical world, and then you can have a much more of a closer connection. If you're in the physical world, you're not like the Rebbe Shlom, you're God's over Gashmi. There's another way of understanding this, and that is that, you know, it's not mashma like this, that the Rebbe Shlom does acquire perfection to himself. This was supposedly for Moshe Shapiro. I don't understand it 100%, as I don't understand many of the things that Moshe Shapiro says. But the mice, I believe that he does understand them. And there are people who claim that they understand what he says. But in any case, what I think he says is the following. True, the Rabbanu Shalom, when we talk about his essence, doesn't need to acquire anything because he's perfect. But we can't understand the Rabban Shalom's essence. So we either understand the Rabban Shalom as he functions within creation. Now within creation, the Rabban Shalom is also perfect, but it is shayach for the Rabban Shalom to be kone things, to acquire things. Kone shamayim v'oretz. Chamesh kindos, five kinyanim that the Rabban Shalom made in the world. Which seems to imply that the Rabban Shalom adds to his perfection by acquiring things in this world, an acquisition. When you acquire something, it becomes part of you. The Tzohar HaShiva brings a proof to that from the following. Not being a Kohen, I'm not allowed to eat Truma. If I eat Truma, I'm Chayiv Nisa, B'zei Shamayim. Okay. On the other hand, if Shlomo Jasmer buys a donkey, okay, he can feed the donkey Truma. That seems very insulting to me, because Shlomo Jasmer's donkey can eat Truma, and I'm not allowed to eat Truma. Well, the answer is that Shlomo Jasmer's donkey is an extension of Shlomo Jasmer. Right? It is part of him. When you acquire something, it mamish becomes part of you. So Shlomo Jasmer's donkey is an extension of a Kohen. Masha Enkein, I'm not an extension of a Kohen. Okay? He can never acquire me as a person. He can only acquire my work. Right? He can acquire a non-Jewish slave, and he can also eat true. Because then he owns him and he becomes an extension of him. So in that respect, an acquisition, a kinyan, is something that a person mamish makes part of him. We see that the Rabbeinu Shalom can acquire things and make it part of him. So when a person acquires Olam Haba, acquires his perfection, and it becomes part of him, he's in that way Doma L'Hashem. It's not just he's similar in some way more than he would be if he got it from the outside. It's not mashma that that's what the Yerach Hashem is saying. But he's saying he's exactly like Hashem, Hashem as he functions in this world. Okay? Because Hashem can be koneh things, and here a person can be koneh. But Hashem doesn't need anybody to give him anything for free. If he gets it, he's koneh it and becomes part of his, so too a person is koneh. Okay, that, again, I don't think that the Derech Hashem is saying that, because otherwise you wouldn't have to say that it's as much as it could be and it's better than getting it from somebody else. He should just say that if the whole thing is only lefi how we can relate to it in this world, and the way we relate to this world, it's mamish like Hashem, because in this world Hashem can become the things and make it part of himself, whatever that means. That's only from our standpoint, not how it actually is absolutely.